You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Tunes off the old chip, chip off the old tunes. And the grand theme of things is back, and we're going electronic today. We are exploring the use of chip tunes in movie and TV soundtracks. For this theme, I had to set some ground rules, otherwise it would be way too easy. Chip tunes, basically, it's a genre of electronic music where basically the music is intended to sound like it comes from the sound chip of a video game console, usually referencing the Nintendo Entertainment System, the Famicom sound chip. Although there are variants of it that use Atari 2600 sounds, Sega Genesis sounds, you name it. Chiptunes are like anything else to do with classic video game systems, and the definition of classic, the definition of retro, is constantly in motion, depending on the age of the people doing the collecting or the music creating. It's sort of interesting. I could go off on that topic for quite a while. I amassed quite a video game collection myself about a decade or so ago. Had to flip it as financial needs of a family took over consideration. But I'm still very fond of video games, and obviously there are ways to play it without the original hardware. As I just said, I could go on about this for days, and I'm getting off track already. Let's get to our first selection. This is from something you may not have seen or heard. It's from a UK TV series called Utopia. The music is by a composer named Cristobal Tapia de Vere, who's done music for such UK TV series as Jamaica Inn and The Crimson Petal and The White. Utopia is absolutely nothing to do with the extremely short-lived, thank heavens, extremely short-lived Fox reality show of the same name. The show is about a group of people who have the unpublished script for a comic book which details past conspiracies and predicts upcoming disasters with alarming accuracy. These people are on the run from a group called The Network, which is a shadowy organization that wants the script back and will kill them to get it. It's a neat little show. It is amazingly violent. By the standards of American TV, prepare to be shocked if you seek this out. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I've watched it on DVD. There were two seasons before the show ran to its natural end. By the standards of American TV, it is startlingly, graphically violent. It aired in a late night slot on British TV. However, it still came in for heavy criticism because of violence. One of the interesting things about Utopia is that it makes the suggestion that the reason we have a glut of goofy-ass conspiracy theories in the modern world, especially with the advent of the internet, part of the reason we have so many crazy conspiracy theories is that they keep everyone looking the other way while the real conspiracy is taking place behind our backs. I don't think that's necessarily what's going on. In fact, the creator of the show has gone on the record as saying that he doesn't necessarily think that that is what's going on in real life, but that it's an interesting conceit around which to build a fictional universe. There's music by Cristobal Tapia de Vere for the British TV series Utopia.
Thank you.
Cristobal Tapia de Vere's music from the British TV series Utopia, which ran two seasons, an amazingly violent little conspiracy theory show. Is it coming to America? Yes. Yes, it is. HBO and David Fincher, the director, are teaming up to ruin this one for us. I don't understand why we can't just have the stuff shown in America somewhere. I suspect, however, that the standards of American TV, even if it's on pay cable, are going to rip the guts out of this thing and make it less violent. And just, they're basically going to make it a remake of The Lone Gunman. That's what I'm afraid of. You know, people can understand English when it's spoken in accents. I don't understand this constant need to remake British shows for an American audience. We like the originals just fine. Oh well. Speaking of obscurity, the next movie. Yeah, I set down the ground rules at the beginning of the podcast that none of the soundtracks featuring chiptunes could actually be from video games. However, the next two movies deal heavily with video games. The music you're about to hear coming up in a moment is by Nigel Godrich. He produced OK Computer, the famous Radiohead album. He also produced a favorite album of mine, which you have not heard of. I virtually guarantee it. It's the second album by former Jellyfish guitarist Jason Faulkner. The album is called So You Can Feel. And it's not So You Can Feel, it's Can You Still Feel. It's a great album. I strongly urge you to seek it out if you get the chance, because I pretty much guarantee it that about 15 seconds ago is the first time you've ever heard of it. Nigel Godrich produced it, co-produced it, really. Godrich also performed several very chiptune-esque pieces accompanying the guide entries in the 2005 big screen adaptation of Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Interesting little side note. He comes by this pedigree, honestly. The music is from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which is one of those movies that gained an afterlife on home video that it didn't get in the theaters. I'm actually going to play two different things. Normally I play sort of my edited personal highlights from the movie score, but first I want to play this for you. The Universal Studios theme, it's not really part of the soundtrack, but Nigel Godrich decided he was going to do this very NES-esque chiptune version of it for the beginning of the movie, identifying the studio that is releasing it. There you go. The James Horner Universal Studios theme, reimagined as chiptunes. Now we're going to go ahead and play some highlights from the movie itself. The music is by Nigel Godrich for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Thank you. Music by Nigel Godrich. The music was from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. The next movie we're going to hear music from also leans heavily on the world of video games, thus justifying the amount of chiptunes in it. Although you really don't have to justify the existence of chiptunes to the composer of the music you're about to hear. Bear McCreary is, of course, famous for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Walking Dead, the remake of Battlestar Galactica, Da Vinci's Demons, Black Sails. I could go on for days. I'm a huge fan of Bear McCreary's. He is a huge fan of chiptunes. Early in his career, when he was backing up the original sound files for all of his recording sessions on external hard drives, as a safety measure, every hard drive was labeled with the name of a villain from the Mega Man series, along with a picture of said villain from the game. He would have hard drives named Guts Man, and so on. And shelves and shelves of these hard drives with these labels. He also, he has used chiptunes before. He did the music for Dark Void and Dark Void Zero, which Dark Void Zero was an NES-style add-on, really, for the Dark Void video game. And Dark Void Zero, since it was attempting to be late 80s, early 90s in style, received an appropriate soundtrack by Bear McCreary, which referenced the symphonic soundtrack of Dark Void, but did it entirely in chiptune. He has also used chiptunes in the TV series Eureka, which aired on Sci-Fi Channel several years ago. Here is music from Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie, by Bear McCreary. Music from Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie. The music was by Bear McCreary. It's a really interesting soundtrack. It includes one track, which starts out as a very not-safe-for-work rap, which is why I didn't include it. I really wanted to, but, you know, I couldn't. I try to keep my podcast fairly family-friendly, because part of the point of this podcast is to expose you, and maybe your kids, to interesting music that they haven't heard before, and to prove that soundtrack music is not just this thing that involves this extremely white 19th century European romantic style of music, which, you know, is a picture you kind of get if the only thing you've ever listened to really is John Williams. Which, not to slag off John Williams, John Williams has broken out of that mold as well, to be completely fair, but soundtrack music can be anything. Anyway, so that's why I didn't include this track that goes from, you know, profanity-laden rap to doo-wop in the space of about 15 seconds, with a little tribute to Michael Jackson in the middle. It's a Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie, is a bizarre little soundtrack. I have no idea how they got Bear McCreary to score that. He must have already been a fan. That's the only thing I can figure. This concludes the chiptunes segment of In the Grand Theme of Things. Do you like chiptunes? I tell you what, I like chiptunes too. I make chiptunes. They're not soundtrack music. They're not original. Basically, in my secret superhero identity, I am a chiptune artist known as Kazutoshi, which basically does chiptune cover versions of 70s and 80s and occasionally 90s music, all done, you know, very NES style. And it's not a process I put a huge amount of time or effort into, because I have two kids and I really can't. But Kazutoshi provides a lot of the music that runs constantly in the background of my other podcast, The Escape Pod. If you like chiptunes, and if you like chiptune covers of popular music from the past, strongly suggest you visit thelogbook.com/Kazutoshi. Kazutoshi. Enjoy. All the downloads are free, because I couldn't possibly cover the publishing royalties if I were to try to charge for it, which I don't. It's a little bit of fun. I did a lot of it as support material for my other podcast, and I don't charge for it. It winds up in your hands kind of as a side effect. You can purchase, if you're in the mood to actually pay for your music today, which I always strongly encourage, you are always welcome to visit thelogbook.com/music/podcast. There are links in the description of each installment of In the Grand Theme of Things, leading you to where you can buy your own copies at full audio quality. So I kind of mashed down the audio quality of this podcast so it won't wind up being this monster, you know, 200 meg file. That's it for chiptunes. That's it for In the Grand Theme of Things. Game over, man. Game over. That's all for now. In the Grand Theme of Things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.